Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today, co-host Daniel McAdams. Daniel, good to see you.
Good morning, Dr. Paul.
Good. Did you know that our government is still spying on a lot of us?
No.
And it's out of control, and it's gotten to the point where even the FISA court is conceding that fact. And now there's more information out, some investigation, and they're coming up with information and revealing and admitting that the searches done under the Obama administration, the civil libertarian administration that we just, had previously, total abuse. And even though, you know, the courts are very, very generous, they let
90-some percent, yeah.
They acknowledge all these, search warrant. But, and the Congress occasionally tries to put restriction on. But now they've looked into it, and they said it's massive, and they admit that this could be an attack on the Fourth Amendment. I cannot believe that they're getting concerned. But like most things, they try to keep things quiet. They do these things. Congress makes these attempts. We're going to rein it in, and we won't allow them to do it. We'll write another law or regulation and try to prevent this from happening. But it looks like, as many people suspected, that there was a lot of surveillance. It raised questions. Who was surveilling who? Surveilling who? In the last election, and maybe if Obama was abusing this, maybe we're going to see this administration come along and all of a sudden be civil libertarians and get rid of this outfit. Well, we'll talk about that and see where we stand with this administration on protecting our privacy.
The issue is the Section 702 of the FISA amendments, which were passed in the mid-2000s after the Patriot Act. But I sort of consider them all part of the Patriot Act package. But what this does is it allows, if an American citizen has a contact, a phone call, an email, et cetera, with a foreign person of intelligence interest to the United States, that conversation or what have you, that communication can be monitored by the NSA. But the American should be masked. His identity is masked. And he can't be the target of that. It has to be the foreign intelligence. But what the NSA does is they've reversed engineered it. So if I send you an email that says, Dr. Paul, check out this article about Putin. If Putin is a foreign intelligence interest, then they can monitor not just that, but all the communications. So they reverse it, and then they keep all these. So there was a threefold increase during the Obama administration in using this kind of backdoor to monitor us and to keep these for future use, pre-crime.
Yeah, build up the reservoir of information. You know, I remember clearly when I had to vote on expanding the powers of the FISA court, and obviously I thought it was a disaster. But a few people would agree, you know, this could be dangerous, but we're in very serious trouble now. We've had 9/11. We have to do something to make the people safe. So they put sunsetting in, thinking, the sunsetting will work. Well, we're going to do something really bad, but our option is that we're going to protect ourselves. Like, okay, you've gotten it done. You've had your year, two or three, but many years now. And they keep saying, well, it's sunsetting. And that's what is the issue is coming up here. My argument back then was, well, if it's bad and you have to protect yourself, be able to stop it, which you never do, then why don't you just not do it? So the sunsetting is coming up and the 702 and some other things, but the big issue is 702. Let it expire. Of course, we'd like to see them let the whole thing expire. And I said, you mean be lawless? No, we would follow the Fourth Amendment. But that's they're not looking forward to it. So this is the issue that's coming up today, and and it's the end of the year, so it would give the people the opportunity to say something, to talk to their Congress. If we're going to exist and pretend we have a government and that the people are supposed to be representative and they have an input, they better get busy, yeah. And send the message. But, the concern isn't all that high. You know, that last bombing that wasn't all that bad and it was in Britain, so yeah. We won't worry about that. So energizing people and saying, get them interested in 702, letting it expire at the end of the year. Unfortunately, it's going to take a lot of work to energize the people and let them know what's going on. One individual who worked very hard at trying to let the American people know, and we should be grateful, and we shouldn't be so hateful, and that's Ed Snowden,
yeah.
You know, let us know what's happening. But this whole thing of sunsetting is not a very effective way of curtailing the abuse of government.
But it was a brilliant way to get things like the Freedom Act or the Patriot Act passed. Remember, how many votes, I wonder, were turned by them saying, don't worry, this will sunset in a year. This is extraordinary times, you know. And, of course, then sunsetting comes up. You know, we can't do that. We can't stop that.
Maybe the wars are the same way. We'll sunset this war. We're going in there, and we're going to do A, B, C, and we'll be out of there in 6 months, and we're going to make them pay for it.
Yeah.
The wars lately have not been sunsetted very often.
But, you know, the Section 702 is scheduled to expire on December 31st of 2017 if it's not reauthorized. Thus far, they have been almost automatic reauthorizations. What I think will happen, we're seeing, are some very well-intentioned people who will try to reform 702. And if you remember, just a couple of years ago when they reformed the Patriot Act, they gave us the Freedom Act, and they told us it was reform. But what it did was actually worse than the Patriot Act, because it codified into law those things which were ruled illegal in the Patriot Act. So I worry about reform.
And that was allowing the private industry to participate and be exempt from lawsuits, and they could keep the information. They were really doing a free service for the government by retaining that, and they get their privileges from the government, so they're too often partners in crime on this. But The whole thing is the administration has something to say about this. You know, the president has a vote on this,
yeah,
and he has a powerful vote on it, and he's been arguing the case. He has persuaded some libertarians, you know, to support him and all. But I would have to say that I don't even know. This may be a defeatist attitude, but I would, if I talked to some people and they were energetic and they were in an audience, what can I do? I agree with you. I would say, call your congressman, go to the meetings, and not to disrupt, but to make people aware of what's going on. Talk to the congressman and your senator, I'm sort of at a point where writing the president right now, he is not going to do all that much good, because he supports this. He says, you know, it's the old line. We need this. We need to make the people safe. We need this for national security, and implying that, you know, giving up a little bit of liberties for security and safety, we should all be so grateful. And that's the attitude that we are contending with. And, you know, when that vote came up and Obama didn't want, Obama voted the bill which allowed American citizens to sue the Saudi government,
yeah,
it was overridden,
yeah,
the veto was overridden. So when the people know, and
because
just
of the
think,
people, yeah,
just think how controversial that was. You're blaming Saudi Arabia for participating in 9/11? Couldn't be possible. We're selling them weapons, you know, this,
yeah,
sort of thing. But that, I would say, stick with your congressman, you know, and I realize the frustration that you have. You know, they go in and nothing seems to happen. If there's enough noise and enough people, and if they care about their liberties, I would think that they would be emailing, phone calling, writing letters, going to the meetings. I think going to the meetings, instead of those lefties controlling
screaming,
these meetings,
yeah,
why don't we go and join with some progressives and say, you know, we want some protection of our civil liberties. You know, we have a progressive leader in the Congress now, Tulsi Gabbard,
yeah,
who is talking about legislation right now, making sure that there can be no wiretapping, to stop all wiretapping, you know, without a search warrant. Amazing.
Yeah.
But there's no reason why these lefties, the cultural Marxists, have control and now are moving toward violence, when philosophically we should be determined and get together with progressives and get together with constitutionalists and libertarians and go there and get the message out. It would be, unless there's a fight, you know, the media won't cover it or they'll ridicule,
yeah,
it. But still the member of Congress, if you can get a couple hundred people to show up and say, protect my privacy and quit this baloney, yeah. You know, maybe we could have some inroad. But right now, I think that it's going to be tough to stop this, and the president will welcome this, and they're going to continue with this effort to say the real threat is the threat to our national security. The people who reveal these secrets are the enemy, and they're committing treason. We need to lock them up and throw the key away. I thought it was somebody else we were supposed to lock up, but right now it's Ed Snowden they're trying to lock up.
Yeah.
So, to me, it's a sad story.
You know, the hypocrisy of Trump on this is breathtaking, because I think he rightly points out and complains about what possibly, and I would say probably, was increased surveillance of his campaign under this 702. Wow. They spied on his campaign, most likely. There was an unprecedented effort to unmask the Americans, and Susan Rice was involved in this. So he cried foul over this, and rightly so. And who knows what kind of blackmailing went on, if possible. Because all of this stuff, once it's out, it can be used in any way. So he's a victim of this, yet he doesn't say, because I'm a victim, I understand what it's like, and I think we should all be protected. No, he does the opposite, as you said.
Yeah.
We need it. We need it.
What do you think the compromise might be when the reformists get control of this, which we fear? You know, we're going to reform the Federal Reserve or something, but not take any powers away. They're going to come up with some gimmick, you know, like they did with the Patriot Act, the Freedom Act, and they made the Freedom Act, and it was disastrous. There will be a specific proposal that way. If we make any inroads in the support of allowing this to expire, there's going to be the reformists are going to be alive there. And the headlines will be great, and the temptation, even by the critics, will be very great for them to go along with it.
Yeah, the other thing is the use of language. They will use ambiguous language, which 702, I think, is slightly ambiguous. They will use ambiguous language that will leave a huge loophole that can be interpreted widely, and that will be the reform, but it'll be abused because they abused it before. But, you know, in April, the NSA responded to this October revelations, and they said, quote, NSA will no longer collect certain internet communications that merely mention a foreign intelligence target. Everyone thought that was a victory. But, of course, the question is, do you believe them? And the answer is no. And that's why Tulsi Gabbard, you know, essentially her legislation, as I understand it, would take what the NSA said there and codify that into law. Okay, this is what you say you're going to do. We'll make a law that says it. And that's probably a good start.
Yeah, and this is the philosophic problem I have and the political problem, is that when Congress writes a law to correct something, like an abuse of the Fourth Amendment, who expects them to live by the law? I mean, look at what the difficulty understanding all what the restrictions are put on. But Obama still did it.
Yeah.
And they just totally ignore it and whatever they get away with. And there's not enough support in the Congress to confront them and to stop them. And even when they do, and I keep thinking about, you know, the directions to the president over Iran-Contra, the directions were, do not spend one nickel, on the Iran-Contra war. And the Constitution said you can't do it anyway without congressional approval. That doesn't hold. They went one step further and said explicitly, you can't do that. And that attitude of the ineptness and the lack of respect and the lack of the Congress assuming their prerogatives, because they're all complicit. You know, the leadership of the parties are complicit with the deep state. And that's why policy doesn't change, you know, and then there's a lot of money involved, and it continues the same way, and that's where we are. So this policy doesn't look like it's going to change soon, but it doesn't mean we're not going to quit talking about it, let me tell you that.
Yeah, and you know, the fact is these secret agencies cannot police themselves. Time after time we learn this. Now, here's a great answer. This is what the NSA claimed after it was shown that it was massively spying on Americans. It said these were just, quote, inadvertent compliance lapses. Yeah. Can you imagine if the police pulled you over for speeding? You said, I'm sorry, officer, that was an inadvertent compliance lapse.
Well, then there was this other term. They said, you know, when they were asked about it, they said, well, they lack candor. It was a lack of candor. Could that be something like lying? Yeah. Yeah. Lack of candor was the reason they didn't reveal what they were doing. So there's a lot of that in Washington, a lack of candor. There's a lot of mischief goes on, and there's a lot of demagoguery going on, a lot of deceit, a lot of fraud, and a lot of power behind the scenes that drive things. But there's still a remnant of the First Amendment, and people who care should make good use of it. And we still have the tools. We still have an internet, which you know, is used sometimes by the government and is somewhat compromised. But I'm sure that type of compromise has been around a long time. Yeah. But I still think there are vehicles. What we need is determination by the people and an understanding of the importance of this issue, and not get sucked in to this belief that everything is for safety and national security and give away everything else. That, I think, is the basic flaw in the system, because it's appealing. I want to be safe.
Yeah, sure.
I want to be secure. I want to have national security. I want national defense. I want prosperity. And I don't want abuse by the military-industrial complex and the corporate banking interests. But that doesn't mean that is achieved by giving up liberty. That's where they cross the line and think, well, this is more valuable than liberty. Oh, you guys that want liberty, you're too radical. You know, you're such an extremist. But the extremists, as far as I'm concerned, are the ones who run the government, abuse the Fourth Amendment. And the extremists are the ones who want to regulate the economy and everything else. And yet we get painted as the extremists, and I think that we need to convince people that if you want, you know, a correct form of government, and you want peace and prosperity, you have to consider what we're up against.
Yeah, and I would say my final word really would be to reiterate the theme of the show, which is that, you know, reform is not the answer. There is already a way to get intelligence on foreign sources of interest, and that is simply get a warrant. So Americans, if you want to protect your liberty, do not settle for compromise or reform. 702 must sunset at the end of the year.
There you go. Good advice. And for some reason, I totally agree with you on that. You know,
thank
that's
you.
Very good. No, and I hope our viewers agree with us on this, and I hope they participate, hope they do something. And once again, talking to those who get discouraged, I would say the people who watch the show are less discouraged than others because we're at least trying to provide an answer and explain why we get into this trouble, and why, if you care about what's happening from a moral position of individual liberty, that we can have our liberties and prosperity and peace as well. Matter of fact, that is the only way to do this. If we see this in terms of special interests protecting their power through the disguise of saying, well, everybody wants national security, everybody wants to be safe, and bring people in and say, well, that's the case, giving up a little liberty is just fine. The biggest problem with the people not wanting to have total liberty is they have to accept the consequences of how they use their liberty. Because if you take your liberty, and you should have your liberty, and you abuse it and mess your life up, you shouldn't be able to go and say to somebody else, well, it's your fault, and I want my neighbor to pay for my faults, and just because I gambled away my money and I didn't get a job, I want my neighbor to take care of me. It doesn't work that way. And that's why people become complacent. And the real temptation to yield to that is when you have a prosperous society. And ironically, a free market system and prosperity that we have had for a long time, and we still have remnants of it, has made people complacent, because it was used as a tool for the power mongers, the people who would say, well, there's this great prosperity, we want to take it and spread it out. We will be the facilitator. We will take care of poverty. And in the meantime, so they destroy our liberties. It's not complex. We have a code of law that we could very well follow much better than we do today, and that's called the Constitution. But basic morality and understanding of self-reliance and not using force against other people, that's the basic rule. And I still am optimistic that the message can spread. Ideas cannot be stopped by the authoritarian, so we keep spreading the message. And I do want to thank all our viewers for tuning in today, and I hope you come back to the Liberty Report soon.